Gospel of Saint Luke, chapter 24, reading of the resurrection, 12 verses. Bible says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Can I get a witness on that? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to the disciples, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they, the apostles, did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Lord, we come to you this morning, and by your Spirit, we know indeed what happened that day, that you are raised from the dead, that the tomb could not contain you, that there was a plan that extended beyond death for you, and because of that plan for you, it extends to each of us here today. Lord, I pray that on this day, this special day, Lord, that you would, for those who come and do not have an understanding of who you are and what you did and what that means, Lord, that you would bring clarity this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, that your Spirit would come, Lord, and put a hedge of protection, Lord, that every distraction, Lord, be managed, and we would see truth come to our hearts and freedom come to our lives. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Well, it was a special day, a day like no other day, a day that these people would remember their whole lives. When I was growing up, a day that people talked about like that was the day that JFK was shot. They would say, everybody remembers where they were at. Well, I was 2 years old. I didn't remember that day. But I think the day that has eclipsed that in our minds is 9/11, 2001. And I do remember getting a phone call, and TV was off, and Lisa's mother and father had flown to New York. And they were on the plane that was hijacked. It was like, two numbers off because they shift the flight number. So it was like 947 got crashed into one of the Twin Towers, and they were on 945. And she says, aren't they in New York? And we're like, yeah. So? And she goes, I think you better turn the TV on. It was a day that stands out in our minds. Amen? Special day. Days are special for a variety of reasons. There was a special day last week, I think last week or the week before. It was for my kids' school and the God A's school. And they were in the state championship game. And Leanne is a cheerleader there, and she was riding a bus. The game was in Sacramento. And we used to live in Sacramento, and I mean, I hate that ride to Sacramento. You go up I-5, man, it's like, you know, I think if there's a picture of hell, it's I-5, you know, going north of L.A. up to, I mean, there's just like the wasteland, you know. And so she had to go. I was glad I didn't have to go. And the game was on a Friday, and I think it started at noon. And I rolled up there. I got there after the game started. They're down by four. And they're struggling, man. They're down the whole game, just kind of trailing. And beginning of the second half, they draw even, and then they're behind again. And it is looking bleak, folks. It's not looking good. And so it gets to, you know, a minute left, and they're down by like eight. You know, and it gets to 30 seconds left, they're down by six. And Joe and Josh and Matt are there, and Lisa's there. And the boys now were going to go do something. I said, this is over, man. We're out of here, man. Let's just go. You know, and it's like, you know, there's a minute left. Okay, we'll stick it out. So, you know, they're fouling. They're trying to get the points and all this stuff. And it comes down to like 10 seconds left. They're down by four. 4 seconds left. They're down by two. So I'm like moving up closer to the screen and watching it. And they foul this guy. He's got two shots. He misses both shots with 4.1 seconds left. And they dish it up to half court to Ethan Underwood. He's this kid, man. I mean, he's a sophomore. The other kids were all seniors. He was the eighth grade quarterback at Joe's flag football team, so I knew who he was. The kid, man, was stone cold during the game, man. He missed three free throws. I mean, they would have been ahead if he would have hit his free throws. And so the ball goes up to Ethan. Come on, Ethan. And, you know, he's up at the top of the key. It's like, really? Mr. Stone Cold. Well, he gets the ball, dribbles at half court, and takes this shot. The ball leaves his hand. And like 0.1 second left. And it goes in the air. It's like a movie, man. And it leaves his hand, and then it was an NBA court. The basket and the whole backboard turns red to let you know that time is out. And it goes up, and it just swishes for 3 points. And they win the game by 1 point with no time left. We're in the gym. We're in the cafeteria. The place is going crazy. The gymnasium over there. I don't have. They mob. The other team just falls over. And when I said Horizon, all their hands went up. Oh yeah, you know, Lisa was watching it on the news, and she's getting all wound up just watching it on the news, man. I mean, later on that day and the next day, oh, I can't believe it. A special day. Can you imagine what those ladies who went to the tomb would feel as they thought about that day? Or the apostles, as they were thinking about Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week. They think, oh yeah, man, I remember going there and just not getting it, not understanding it. A day like no other day. And for many of us here today, that day is a day like no other day. Amen? Amen? It is a special day. It has a special place in our hearts. But maybe you're here today. That day's not special at all. Maybe you're here today, and it doesn't have a special. It doesn't have any place in your life. I mean, you just struggle with this whole resurrection thing. What does it mean? What difference does it make? What does it matter? I'm here for the Easter egg hunt, and my kids, I just want to get them off my back. Well, I'm hoping today could become a special day for you. Because we're going to talk about that today. Amen? And it won't take a long time. So if this is no special day for you, we'll get you out of here and we'll cook you some hamburgers and hot dogs later. And you just have a good time. But we're hoping they'll be good. All right, let's take a look. We're going to go back to Gospel of Luke chapter 24. It says, when they came back from the tomb, because the resurrection can be a challenge. And I want to let you know that Jesus raised from the dead was a challenge to the very people that were there, that were with him for the last 3 years, the disciples. I mean, check out what they said. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to the disciples, and to all the people that were with them, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles, but they didn't believe it because their words seemed like nonsense. And maybe you sit here today and you just think, it just sounds like nonsense. And if you struggle with the resurrection of Jesus, you are in good company. Because the disciples were struggling with it too. They had been with him for 3 years. Jesus told them it was coming. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Does that sound pretty clear to you? He told them over, that's Mark 8, chapter 9 he tells them, chapter 10 he tells them, he's telling them all the time. And now it finally happens. And they're thinking, this sounds like nonsense to me. I don't know if I can believe it. We are 2,000 years removed from these actions that changed history, and they can seem like nonsense. These guys could have been lying. They could have been making the whole thing up. Could have been fabricated. It could have been a scam. And I'm telling you, we got some pretty good scams that have been going around lately. Amen? Do you know who this guy is? Very good. Bertie Madoff. Now, do you know who he is? You heard that name? He scammed $65 billion. That's with a B. He scammed banks. He scammed hedge funds. He scammed individuals. It was a Ponzi scheme. And I was going to start a Ponzi scheme. I'd say, Sandra, invest some money with me. And then she'd give me the money. I just put it in my pocket. And then I would say, hey, I'm making you all kinds of money. You want some of your interest back? I'd give her back half her money and say, hey, look, you got all this gain. And then I'd go to James and say, James, look at all this money I'm making her. Give me some money. I'd say, oh, you want some more money? I'd give her James's money. Right? And then I'd get some money from Mike, and I'd get some money from all you guys. And I'd just be paying you back other people's money. And I'd be telling you, you're making all this money. $65 billion. You know what? Bernie was getting paid. Amen? And you might sit here today thinking, man, it's just a scam. It's just a ripoff. And one thing I want to tell you about that, scams need to look good. If it's going to work, it's got to look good. Amen? Now, Bible tells us that it was on the first day that women, these women, it gives you the names, up there, yeah. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them. Women went to the tomb. Now, one issue, if you're going to put together a nice scam, women are not the best testifiers for you. One thing, women were considered the property of their husbands, as were their children, property of the men. Women could not own property, and women could not testify in court. So, if you're going to put together a nice little scam, you might want to dress it up a little bit. Might want to work it a little bit harder. You think, wait. What were they going to do, man? There were witnesses around. Man, they would have got caught. Well, the Gospel of Luke was written 25 years after the resurrection. Plenty of time to do a little massage work. The Gospel of John, these are round numbers, by the way. The Gospel of John was written 50 years later. All kinds of time. Think of me, 20 years down the road. A little older. A little balder. Maybe sitting with Leanne's son, Bobby. And he's getting ready to go to the state championship game. And I can say, boy, I remember back to 2013. And I remember that game. And I remember that trip heading up to Sacramento. Oh, it was lush and green. I love that trip. And we went up there and the star of the team, Ethan Underwood. I tell you, Joe's quarterback, man, that boy was hot that day. And the referees, they kept us down. They kept on taking the calls going against us. But Ethan, I'll tell you what, he was just polishing up and getting ready. And that's what you need to do, grandson. And we got to the end of that game, and I was just knowing that Ethan was going to come through. And he got that ball. And he went through. And at the end, flicked up that shot like a swish. I carry that ticket around with me. Just because it means so much to me. See, as time goes on, we can kind of massage the truth so that it makes us look good. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? See, those disciples, they were only human. And Peter was the leader of the early church. And go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It says, Jesus talking to Peter, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Makes Peter sound pretty good, amen? See, we can manage the truth, especially in 25 years. You know, and Peter would have had the role and the position and the authority and the power to massage that truth. And he can put a great, hey, I'm just doing it for the church. I'm just doing it for the Lord. And he could have put this, he could have made that scam look so good. Change my page here. But there's some stuff in the Bible. Doesn't make Peter look so good. Gospel of Luke. And this is recorded in all four Gospels. That Jesus was telling the disciples of his impending arrest and crucifixion. And Peter says, struggling with that, he says, I'll follow you, Lord. I will follow you. And Jesus says to him, I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows three times tonight, you're going to deny me. Hardly makes Peter look very good, does it? And all four Gospels got that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Kind of like putting Luke or putting John, Peter on blast. Amen? Kind of throwing him under the bus. Now, if Peter, who was the leader of the early church, was going to make this scam look good, you would think he would have pulled that out. Amen? Amen? And you know what? The thing about the Bible is every disciple has got something negative in here about them. You take a look at the Old Testament. Abraham, oh my, hardly a stellar figure. You take a look at King David. Wow. His marriage life, not something you want to emulate. Moses didn't make it to the promised land because of his sin. And of course, Adam, not looking real good if you've read the Old Testament. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. So if it's a scam, you'd think it would have been polished up a whole lot more. And because it's not polished, we can take a look at this record and believe it a little easier this morning. Amen? All right, so we take a look at our trustworthy record now. We ask a question. The resurrection, does it really matter? Why should I care? What difference does it make to me? We go to this Bible that now we can believe a little bit more, that's a little bit more reliable, and we can pull some text out. And this, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, who is Jesus, amen, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. Think about that message. What does it mean to me? Well, if Jesus is going to be the firstborn, that means that there would be some that had the opportunity to follow, to be the secondborn, the thirdborn, the fourthborn. Amen? You follow what I'm talking about? See, Peter had the opportunity to follow Jesus to where? The apostles had the opportunity to follow Jesus to where? Well, he talks about new life. He talks about being reborn. So Peter and the apostles had the opportunity to be transformed in their situations. They could follow Jesus to this new life. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking to a Pharisee, a religious leader of the day, and he tells Nicodemus, he says, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, he says, you must be born again. And so as we read here, as Paul's teaching us that to be born again, that on Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus was raised to new life, and that new life is available to us, and for us to see the kingdom of God, we've got to have that new life. Does that make sense? There's an opportunity to follow. You say, really? Does it matter to me? Well, it mattered to Peter. Because in like 67 AD, he was crucified by Nero. He could have got out of it. All he had to do was say, oh, it was a scam. It was just a con. We were just looking to get paid. But rather than do that, the message of the gospel was so valuable to Peter that he went to his death. And not just Peter. Every disciple was killed for his faith. Except for John. And John was boiled in oil. Oh, yeah. He lucked out. I mean, how'd you like to be boiled in oil and survive? It's like, oh, yeah, don't mind that. It's just my cooked arm. Oh, my. That's how valuable the message of the cross was to those disciples, that they would die rather than surrender. I talked to you about Bernie Madoff getting paid, amen? 65, how many? Billion dollars. He was arrested. I got the date right here. He was arrested on December 11th, 2008. $65 billion. He was confessing in court 4 months later, March 12th, 2009. Here is a guy that would say, take the money. Just don't take my life. Because he was going to jail. He's in jail now. Amen? I believe he's in jail. I can't imagine they let him out. But they're saying, you confess and we'll give you a lighter sentence. He's like, you got it. Take all the money, just don't take my life. Can you imagine? If I was taken and somehow put into a torture situation saying, you were lying about going to that game. You were lying about going up. You were lying to your grandson about going to that game and rooting for Ethan and doing all that stuff. We're going to torture you unless you can. Dude, I lied. Right? Amen. It ain't that important. It's not that. I'll tell you, if they took Ethan and put him down a chair and they were going to torture him, say, We don't think you made that shot. Tell us you didn't make that shot. You're going to torture me? I didn't make the shot. Right? It ain't that important. It was truth. Sometimes we'll recount truth because what? It's not that important. All the disciples, eyewitnesses of Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection were killed rather then recount the truth of the cross. And when you say, does it really matter? Oh, it mattered to them. It mattered to them. And there's a bunch of us in this room. It matters a bunch to us. And we're hoping that this morning that the message of the cross would come through and become important to you. Amen? Third point, we're almost done. Jesus makes an offer of full life. It says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes, talking about the devil, thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. See, what Jesus came to offer the apostles and to offer Peter and to offer Paul was a life that was different than the life that they had. It was different from the empty life that they knew. It was full life. And those of us in this room today that have accepted the Lord as our Savior, we are living the full life. Amen? Do you know what I'm talking about? Jesus is raised from the dead. He speaks to them of this full life. And he has varying levels of success. In fact, Peter even takes all the guys back fishing. This is the resurrected Jesus. Jesus talks to them. Luke 24, 45 through 49. He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. They're struggling, man. They are struggling with who Jesus is. Maybe you are struggling this morning with who Jesus is, and you can say, Lord, please open my mind. I want to understand who you are. I want this full life. I don't want to live the empty life anymore. And he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. And that's what I'm preaching to today. You got to change your life to get that new life. You got to surrender the old and get the new. To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That happened on the day of Pentecost. It is recorded for us in Acts chapter 2. 120 believers in the upper room were praying and waiting upon the Lord, and the day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and they were transformed. No more fishing. They were sold out for the Lord. They were moving into the fullness of life that Jesus had promised to them, and they became aware of the difference between the empty way of life and the full way of life. How many of you are aware of that difference? Some of you are only aware of the empty way of life this morning. There's people who get paid on the empty, they make money on the empty way of life. This guy gets paid. You're going, who is this guy? You know this guy. You got music for me, Richard? Where's my music, Richard? Oh, it didn't come through. Is it there? It was there earlier, right? Not there? No green light, no nothing. That is Jackson Browne. And this song is Running on Empty. I was going to play it for Ed. Ed's probably played that song 1,000 times, right? Never? Wow. He talks about running on empty. And I know you've heard this song 1,000 times. Running on empty, running blind. All right. He says, looking out at the road, rushing under my wheels, looking back at the years gone by. And here is this guy who's older and he's remembering his younger life and he's thinking, where has it gone? In 1965 he was 17, running up on Highway 101. And I don't know where I'm running now. I'm just running. And maybe you can relate to that this morning. This song was so popular because there were and are so many people who are running on empty, who are just lost. He said in 1969, he was 21, and he thought he was the king of his future. Called the road my own, and I don't know when that road that I was on turned on to the one I'm on now. I'm just running on, I'm running blind, and I'm running behind. I'm getting tore up in my life. He says, road rushing under my wheels, how crazy this life feels. I look around at the friends that used to pull me through. Looking into their eyes, I see them just running too. I'm running on empty. I'm running blind. Trying to catch up, but I'm running behind. Maybe you can relate to that this morning. Maybe you can understand that. He says, been so kind, love to stick around, running behind. He says, you know, I don't even know what I'm hoping to find. I got to that point. Many of us got to that point. I'm just running and I don't even know what I'm running for. But I'm running behind. Running into the sun. Running behind. Jesus came that you might not have empty life anymore. Scripture, everybody knows. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came that we might have fullness. You are here this morning. Jesus came that you might have life. That you might have life to the full. He went to the cross to pay for your sin. That you might be made full. Lisa, you want to come up? Are you running on empty this morning? It is Resurrection Sunday, 2013. It can be a special day for you. You can say, oh, running on empty, running blind, just running to catch up. I don't even know which road I'm on. But I want to get on the right road today. I want to be transformed in my existence. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have an avenue of fullness of life made available to me. I want to participate in his resurrection. For you to participate in his resurrection, you have to participate in his crucifixion. And he says, you got to die to that old life and be raised to new life. Amen? And you have the opportunity to do that this morning. You can say, Lord, I am so tired. And I want to be changed. Every head bowed, we're going to just step before the throne of grace this morning. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe you just came here for Easter eggs and you're going, oh man, I am tripping. The Lord's asking you, are you tired enough yet? Are you tired of running? Because I'll give you a new life. I'll give you fullness of life. I'll give you fullness of life in me. I'll trade you your life for mine. You give me your life. As polluted and tiring as it is, surrender that to me, and I'll give you my life. And that's the full life. Now, there's a lot to this exchange. And you haven't got it all figured out yet. But if that sounds good, you want to grab onto that deal. You come around here for a while, we'll explain it to you. It takes a while to figure it out. But his Holy Spirit will come into you today, and you can be transformed. With nobody looking around and you're going, that sounds better than anything I've heard for a while. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is speaking right to your heart. You're freaking out right now because you're not used to that. But you want to say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'll take that exchange with nobody looking around. That's you. You say, Lord, here I am. I want that deal. I'll take that, Lord. I want to be part of your resurrected life. Lord, I want to have new life. I want to have fullness of life. With nobody looking around, you want that. I just want you to just slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. Right here, here, there. There, yes. Anybody else that say, that's me this morning. I want that. I want that fullness of life. You put your hand up, you can put it down. That happened to me 20 years ago. Pastor said, I'm going to pause. He said, stand up. I didn't stand. I said, oh, no, I'm not standing up. He said, I'm going to pause one more moment. And that pause was for me. I'm going to pause one more moment. You did not respond before. And the Lord is all over you like a blanket. He's saying, I'll give you a new life. You didn't put your hand up before, but he's on you, and you're saying, that's me, Lord. I'll take that deal. One last shot for you right there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Take that opportunity, a new life.
right there. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each person here. Let's all stand, would you? You put your hand up earlier. You didn't put your hands up earlier. I'm going to pray. I just want you to put both hands up right now and just let the Lord just come down from heaven. Just bless you. Lord, for these that have their hands extended, Lord, I pray that you just come down from heaven, Lord, that you give newness and fullness of life, Lord, that they and each one of us, Lord, are raised to new life in you. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen. We're going to sing this song. And if you want prayer, come up. I'll pray with you. But we're just going to sing one more song, and then you'll be dismissed. Praise the Lord.